This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
He broke his ankle. He is Houdini. Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope. Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast presented by Clutch Points. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And, yes, once again, I am recording from a different location. I think Dylan also recording from a different location. But the one thing we both have in common is that we both have dogs that are in the vicinity. So, once again, we mentioned the Puppy Bowl on the last episode of the podcast. We could have another Puppy Bowl on this one. So trying to entertain everyone here as we were all stuck at home. But Dylan, we were talking about the podcast, and as we said, creativity is everything in this this time right now. And we were looking around and saying, you know, if you look at the NFL free agency, most of the big signings have already happened. Now we're kind of in that lull, I think, before the NFL draft, which is going to go on according to plan. Whether you agree with that or not, that's a different discussion. But we were also thinking about it, and the one thing that stood out to both of us, and obviously for you, because you're in Los Angeles, is that ESPN is going to be airing a replay of the Chiefs-Rams game from 2018, which is undoubtedly one of the wildest Monday Night Football games ever, if not the wildest Monday Night Football game ever. And that got us to thinking about our favorite Monday Night Football games, the ones we remember the most. So we're going to make this a Monday Night Football-themed episode of the podcast.
Yeah, the Rams-Ravens game I went to last season, I don't think will qualify for this list. But, yeah, Rams-Chiefs, I was very lucky that that game ended up being moved from Mexico City to L.A. My dad and I went, and, yeah, just definitely up there with some of the greatest football games. I got really lucky. I went to the Texas USC national title game when Vince Young scored the winning touchdown at the Rose Bowl. That's probably still the wow. best football game I've ever been to. But this one, I would say, was a close second in terms of just the amount of sheer just chaos. I mean, so much more was on the line in that national title game, obviously. But in terms of just pure fun at a football game, I mean, for years I wanted a franchise to move back, and the Rams were always one that was close to my dad's heart as a fan growing up. So definitely all of that culminating with that season in particular with the Rams in 2018 was so much fun. And that one game was it was something else. But, yeah, a lot of other great Monday Night memories that we kind of reviewed before this podcast. But, yeah, in terms of the Puppy Bowl stuff, trying to kind of train my dog here. He's not really the smartest little guy, but he really tries hard. So we've been working on some routines after work, so I get a little movement with my body, not staying inside too long, where hopefully eventually he'll have the opportunity to play in a Puppy Bowl. We'll find out, though.
Yeah, well, I have two that are here right now, so I think that's really the full Puppy Bowl experience because they're just bouncing off of each other, bouncing off the walls. But I think that's probably what everyone is dealing with if you have animals right now, but that's why we love them. I didn't know you were at the Texas USC game. Like, you were part of history with that. Obviously, the Chiefs-Rams game, like, that's one of the most memorable NFL games in a while. I guess for me, like, I was at the Music City Miracle with the Titans and the Bills,
yeah.
So that's one of the biggest, moments, I guess, in NFL history. So, look at that. We both just seem to be in the right place at the right time when it comes to some of these sporting events. But, let's start with this Chiefs-Rams game. We're going to run through some of the others that we kind of went through and tried to put on our list of the ones that we thought that stood out from Monday Night Football. And by the way, you're not going to hear a lot of ones from the 2019 season, because I think that was a common thing we kept talking about, was just how bad some of these Monday Night Football games were. And as we went back and looked at it, we were talking, it was like, man, these games are terrible. Like, there were just so many games that you could not even put on the list. But the Chiefs-Rams game was the opposite of that. And like you said, you were there. For me, like, it's one of those games, like, you remember exactly what you, like, where you were watching the game at. Like, I remember, like, I was laying in the bed watching the game. And it's just like, it was like a ping pong game. Like, it just back and forth and back and forth. You were just like, when is this going to, and you didn't want it to stop. Like, it's just one of those games that you just wanted to keep going, because of, you know, I think it was, you think about it, it's like one of those where, like, you know, it goes to overtime, and all that. It's like, just the NFL make a call, like, just to say, you know what, we're not doing this to tie. Like, we're just going to let this game keep going, as long as it wants to keep going. And man, just what a wild game. And as we say, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, obviously a springboard for the Chiefs, and it was for the Rams too, because they got to the Super Bowl. But then, you know, you think now to the next season where the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, man, you think back to those two teams, how they were built in that game. And man, it was like, I don't know. And of course, right afterwards, and we could probably talk about this in a second, there are a lot of people saying, you know, this is bad for the game. You know, the defensive people were really like, oh, this is not football. But, man, that's one of the most exciting games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's funny to think about, like, all the articles, too, that were saying this is the future of football, or this is what it's going to be like, you know, years from now. And then, sure enough, some of the best games last year featured the Ravens' attack with what they are doing, running the ball, and then the Niners' great defense. Their game, maybe the best game of last season when those two teams faced off. But, no, it was, in terms of just sheer insanity, I was, you know, you go to some sporting events and you're really into them, and afterward maybe feel a little emotionally drained. I was emotionally drained at halftime, and the fact that it kept going, that was the crazy part. The first half was nuts. Both teams missed extra points to perfectly let it be tied at halftime. Just sheer chaos. And at that point, I think the Rams had already scored one defensive touchdown. So even though the offenses were dominating, the Rams get a couple defensive touchdowns. I believe the Chiefs got one on a strip sack as well. So even when the defenses were making plays or points were being put up on the board, I remember it was definitely the highest scoring game in Monday Night Football history. And then I'm looking up here, at least at the time, I don't know about last year, it was the third highest scoring game in NFL history, which, yeah, it didn't really feel like a normal NFL or football game. I don't even know how to, just the changes in emotion. There's so many scoring changes, there's a lot of Chiefs fans, obviously, that had, you know, either were already living in the LA area. We have so many fans of so many teams because of that, you know, that stretch of years with no teams here, and then also so many transplants. So there are already a lot of Chiefs fans, and I'm sure more already also switched their plans from going to Mexico City to LA and made the trip. So you had, like, you know, even though it was fairly, you know, filled more with Rams fans, probably because it was last second kind of move there, there's still a pretty big Chiefs contingent. So you had just the back and forth between the fan bases cheering and all the things happening on the field. It was, both teams too leading up to the game. I think they're both 9-1, so the buildup was already there, and the fact that it obviously lived up to it and even more, a game that I still, there's certain plays I can just, like, picture exactly, like the vision from my seat. Even the last touchdown where the Rams took the lead for good was on the opposite corner. I could still see the ball just perfectly over Gerald Everett's shoulder, and everyone just at that point being like, oh, we left way too much time on the clock to get those last two picks from Mahomes. Even after the first one, they get the ball back again, and you just felt like he was going to do something to at least force the game into overtime. But, the Rams, for their sake, helped them, you know, get to the Super Bowl. Obviously, the Chiefs winning the next year. But that would have been quite the Super Bowl rematch if the Chiefs had been able to beat the Patriots in that AFC title game.
Yeah, and of course, in the Super Bowl, we got the complete opposite of this game in the Super Bowl. So that kind of showed you that not all NFL games were going to be like that, since the Super Bowl was pretty much the complete opposite of this game. All right, I'm putting you on the spot here because I was trying to think about this as you were talking. We go back to that game, and, you know, you look at the stats. Obviously, you could pick a ton of players here, but when you came out of that game, if you looked at it and there was one player or one, let's just say one player, like one player that you were the most just in awe of or wowed by just in that one game, you come out of that game. And I think, again, I think there's a lot of choices. And maybe even if those players aren't right now where, you know, they were in this game, who would you probably pick from that group? Like, I mean, because I think there are so many different options here. Just looking at the stats and thinking and remembering back to that game, I don't know exactly if you can just pinpoint one guy, but there probably are, you know, maybe a top two or three that you just came out of there saying, my goodness, like this guy is just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the two plays, I mean, that were game changers from the Rams side. Obviously, every game you know Aaron Donald's going to dominate, but he had the two, I mean, he had at least one sack that led to the first Samson Ebukam touchdown. Ebukam is a player that is not, you know, he's a solid guy and really contributes for the Rams on the edge when he's in there. But I wouldn't say he is a huge name, and he scored two touchdowns in that game. Yeah. So that part is kind of crazy. He had one of them where he had an interception. So he also forced one of the late picks with his pressure. So he was one of the kind of unknown guys that made a big difference. But Aaron Donald had one strip sack that led to a fumble recovered. But there wasn't a touchdown, but then also one that led to a touchdown. Those two, you watch the replays and you're still in the stadium seeing it. You watched it and you're like, how did that just happen? Just sheer dominance to completely change the game. But I mean, Mahomes, obviously, I've been fortunate enough now the last 2 years to see Mahomes and Lamar Jackson both put on big performances. Although this one a little more enjoyable for me with the final result. But yeah, I mean, just watching him was, it was something else. I mean, you watched all season leading up to that. You know, it was the Mahomes hype train was off the chains. It was kind of like Lamar last year. So, yeah, I mean, he definitely stuck out. I wouldn't say any – like, so many receivers had great games. Tyreek Hill had a long touchdown where he completely left, trying to remember which safety, if it was Joyner. Someone got completely left in their dust for a really easy long touchdown. Watching his speed, it was just staggering. All the Rams receivers in that game, Cooper Kupp was injured at that point, but they all, everyone played really well. You know, you just saw all these offenses on the top of their game, and the Rams offensive line obviously was in a better spot. I thought they played pretty well, even with the Chiefs having a pretty good defensive front at that point. So, but now, outside of Aaron Donald, I don't know if any defenders really.
Right.
Again, Ebukam scores the two touchdowns, so that sticks out. But Aaron Donald's the one guy that really made a difference outside of all the offensive players that, I mean, it seemed like it was more about the sheer number of dudes that just were stepping up, like Gerald Everett, Josh Reynolds for the Rams. And then on the Chiefs side, they had other guys outside of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce also making plays. So it was kind of just the whole component of what those offenses were at that point that really sticks out for me.
Well, a lot of players in that game earned some probably added zeros on their paycheck. And the good news, Dylan, is that everyone else can do the same when it comes to using Bet Online. Currently, there's no NBA, NHL, or MLB. And as we continue to say, you may think that there's nothing to bet on, but you are wrong. And we hate to tell you that you're wrong, but we just got to be realistic here. And that's because our exclusive partner, BetOnline, has hundreds of sports, events, and games to wager on, and you can let them bring Vegas to you with their online casino and blackjack. They're all open 24 hours a day. They're all online, including their $750,000 poker series. That's right, $750,000. So if you're into props and entertainment betting, you can also bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the weather. So just visit their website and join today. Receive a 100% welcome bonus with your first deposit. And you can just use the promo code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. Bet Online, your online wagering experts. Dylan, we talked about the Chiefs-Rams game, and I'm sure, you know, people listening to this podcast hopefully will have watched this game. If you didn't watch it on Monday night, by the way, NFL Game Pass is free for a while, so you can still go back and watch it, right? So I'm sure Dylan is getting a lot of good use out of this right now. Yes, listen, just as a caveat, like we're not promoting, they're not a sponsor, but if you're an NFL fan, like getting it, go through, watch everything, right?
It's funny, before you even, I meant to say this when we were talking about the game, last week before ESPN announced that they were going to show the game, Nelly and I have been watching just so many you know, things are on the background, and I was like, oh, let's throw in like an old game. So we just watched this Rams Chiefs game like last Wednesday on just the condensed game, which, yeah, those condensed games make it a lot easier for you to fly through some of these old classic games.
I think it's like, I was looking, it's like 2009 through 19. So I like the last 10 years of games, like they're on there. So yeah, it's a great time. And I'm sure actually, Dylan, we may get some use out of that here as we go throughout the next several months. I know we'll be talking about the NFL draft, but we may get some use out of the Game Pass, look back at some of our favorite games too on that. But we talked about Chiefs-Rams. That's the first game on ESPN's slate here over the next 5 weeks, I guess, for now, is the schedule they released. And the next one will be the Falcons and the Saints from 2006 on April 13th. It will be Packers versus Vikings from 2009. Colts versus Patriots on April the 20th from 2005. And on April 27th, you'll have the Cowboys and the Bills from 2007. So some of those games I know people remember based on, you know, the circumstances surrounding them. You know, the Falcons-Saints game, the one after Hurricane Katrina, that was one that I think that stands out for a lot of people based on, you know, just the atmosphere, you know, just I think just seeing that building. That entire game, that was pretty incredible. That was one of the ones that I think that stands out for a lot of people. Of course, the Brett Favre against the Packers, that's another one that's always going to stand out. And I know, Dylan, you'll mention exactly what that did for ESPN's ratings. You know, obviously some good games in there. And we were kind of laughing before we came on. We're like, really, the odd man out in this group is the Cowboys and the Bills. Like, I don't remember that game at all from 2007. But then we talked about, like, it was because I think Romo had a lot of turnovers. They still won the game. That one's sort of like the one that I think that stands out that I just don't really remember that much.
Yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch the highlights of that pretty soon. Yeah, it said the Cowboys scored 9 points in the final 20 seconds to win by one. So yeah. Definitely it's going to be tough for me as a diehard Bills fan to get through that.
That's true.
Sounds like an interesting one. The other three, a little more notable maybe in terms of what I remember. Obviously, Peyton Manning struggling so much throughout his career, 0-7, yeah, in New England before finally winning that game in 2005. That one sticks out. I was very much intrigued as a, you know, someone who really followed Brett Favre growing up. So many games the Packers were on here in L.A. without a team, and definitely followed them a bit more than most teams. So that game where he was on Minnesota was one I was glued to. And, yeah, sure enough, like you're saying, had the most, at least since ESPN has had the rights to Monday Night Football, it's still their most viewed game, according to this article that ESPN put out about all the games they're rebroadcasting. Almost 22 million people viewing that one. So it's a pretty close, at that point, Rodgers is in his second year starting. I'd forgotten about that completely, the Brett Favre of the Jets in 2008. So, yeah, but it wasn't until 2009 he gets his first game against the Packers. This one was in Minnesota, but still pretty notable, obviously. And then, yeah, Steve Gleason's block punt. I still can picture sitting in my mom's house watching that when that happened. And obviously, even though the game really wasn't that close, the Saints blew out the Falcons. Still a really big, you know, catalyzing them, especially for that whole season. That was the year that they obviously got first year back in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. I believe they lost in the NFC title game, made it all the way there before losing to the Bears. So had a pretty successful season, and this was early in the year, one of the first games, one of their first home games, or actually the first home game that year, I guess, even though it was pretty late September. So yeah, that one obviously sticks out. There's a reason they have the statue of a block punt, and obviously Steve Gleason's story is so inspirational in so many other ways too, with everything that's happened since. So yep, it makes sense to have those, but I do think there are a number of games that if they continue this series, I know we're going to talk about those a bit more. There's a lot of crazy games that we were kind of just able to think back on before recording that stick out as some of the, you know, at least in our lifetime, the most memorable Monday night games.
Yeah, lots of them for sure. And you mentioned some of those. I think another one that's Brett Favre related that a lot of people would remember, the game against the Raiders the day after his father passed away. That was one, just the type of performance he had in that game. That was incredible. And, you know, for another Packers game, it seems like the Packers have been sort of a theme on this, but the Packers-Seahawks game, I think that's the one that people remember in terms of the fail Mary and how that game played out. So it does seem like the Packers, quite a theme here on Monday night. I'm sure if we went back through, there would be a lot of other Packers games we could find there, but I guess those are some of the others that stands out specifically when it comes to the Packers.
Yeah, the Phil Mary game, that was peak when I was still, you know, really into the Packers, more of what kind of a team I was supporting. I was livid. I was beyond angry with how that all ended up. It's just such a ridiculous – I mean, the game, really, the Packers didn't play well. It's funny because that game is so memorable because of that play. It was a close game, but neither team, for as good as they really were at that point, were really playing that well that day. Just that last moment really obviously is one that you're going to remember. Yeah, going back to the Brett Favre Raider game after his father passed away, with all the emotion there, all the Raider fans, clapping for him before the game and basically cheering him on throughout the night, something that obviously the Raider fans get not the best rep, but anything from my own experience with Raider fans, they're really passionate people, but they understand these kind of things. They root for their team, but they're all still going to, they saw that moment transcended just the football game on the field that night. And then, the last Packer one that we talked about was the miracle. I don't know what the exact name of the Monday Night Miracle maybe is the name. I forget the exact term for the game where Antonio Freeman in overtime against the Vikings catches the pass on his back. Like literally rolling on his back, gets up and scores a touchdown to beat the Vikings. It seems like the Packers-Vikings have had quite a few of these memorable Monday night games. But that one, for me, I remember I was pretty young at the time, but watching that and just play a highlight, obviously, that you see now still on ESPN and NFL Network quite often.
Yeah, there were, games like that. I know there's a lot of others. We look back at, I was just thinking, and this isn't even one I had on my list, but this goes way back. This tells you how old I am. 1994, it was the Broncos and the Chiefs. Now, I think we remember who the two quarterbacks were for those two teams at the time. You had Montana leading the Chiefs. You had Elway leading the Broncos. It was a game where I think it was Montana. The Chiefs won the game, and I think it was they scored with maybe 8 or 9 seconds left in the game, and he led them on. Just a terrific drive. That's another one I think back, just thinking back to, many years ago and wondering, from some of those, games like that. And I think that's one, you look back at a game like that when you had guys, in that era, Montana, Elway, there are lots of games probably from that era. If I went back and looked at it, that's why I wish on the Game Pass, if they went all the way back to early 90s, I would, we wouldn't be able to do this podcast because I'd probably be watching all these games. But some of the others that stand out for you, we were talking about it, and it seems like we could list off a ton, as we said. And by the way, again, not from this past season. I could probably list off two from the 2019 season, and it may be the first two games of the season. But as you look back at some of the others on your list, what are some of the others that stand out for you?
Yeah, a couple more that came to mind outside of the ones we've already talked about. It was 2000, I believe, was this one. It was Dolphins-Jets. I'd forgotten about this one actually before we recorded and was able to find it. It was a game where another one where I was like 8 years old at this time. So I remember it decently well, but I know the Dolphins were winning by a lot. Here I found it 30-7 going into the fourth quarter. The Jets end up winning 40-37 overtime with both teams trading deep touchdowns late in the game. Vinny Testaverde threw 59 passes in a game in 2000 for almost 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. Just an absolutely crazy one. Other ones that stick out, I think of the Colts-Buccaneers game. This is one that is games for some younger fans. You can tell that a lot have seen this game based on the NFL Throwback, their channel on YouTube. Tons of views on this one where the Buccaneers had a huge lead. We're up by 21 with 6 minutes left. The Indianapolis rallies for 3 touchdowns, wins in overtime. There's one highlight where the Colts fumble the ball, the Buccaneers pick it up, and then they fumble again. The Colts get it back, and it helps propel that whole comeback. So, yeah, just some really nuts games. Last one that came to mind for me that is known as one of the bigger, I guess, upsets in recent Monday night history. It's still a while ago now. Back in 2004, the Patriots are 12-1, playing the 2-11 Dolphins. Late in the game, the Patriots thought they were, cruising to a win. It was a close game throughout. They're up 28-17, under 4 minutes left. The Dolphins manage somehow against, that was right in the thick of the Tom Brady Patriots era with that really good defense. This is the year they won their third Super Bowl in 4 seasons. They scored the Dolphins 2 touchdowns in the last 2 minutes. Just a crazy, crazy comeback. Patriots a huge favorite in that one. So another one that sticks out for me personally. I don't know if that one, probably one more that only Dolphins fans might remember as much. But I'm sure if we went back even to the 90s, but even past, I know the history of Monday Night Football goes back quite a bit, and there's so many classic games. A couple that I found that I do like, I've heard about or read about, where with the 85 Bears, their one loss was to Dan Marino and the Dolphins in a Monday Night game, where they actually ran it up pretty good on that Chicago Bears legendary defense. So that's one that's known as a classic. Another one when the Packers were not, another Packer game, of course, here. I've actually seen the highlights of this one from 1983. They beat the Redskins 48-47. I believe that one was probably the highest scoring Monday Night game. Until the Rams Chiefs game. Here it is, the highest scoring Monday Night game ever, and it was just back and forth at five lead changes in the fourth quarter. So if you watch the highlights of that 83 Skins Packer game, definitely one to go back and see. And I'm sure there's plenty more from that 80s and whenever Monday Night Football started. I don't know if it was the early 80s or actually in the 70s. So there's quite a bit more, I'm sure, that would make this list, but not ones that we obviously saw live.
Yeah, that's funny. You've been still talking about it. Like, there's another Packers game I just thought about, and I'm like, why do we keep going back to the Packers here? But it seems like everyone that I'm thinking about ties into the Packers. It was the game in 98. It was Randy Moss, of course. You know, that's sort of when he started to really, emerge as certainly, what he would become. And he had a huge game. I think it was, I'm actually looking it up here. It was in October. Five passes, 190 yards, two touchdowns in the Vikings game against the Packers. I was trying to think, but I remember that. I was like, that's one of the ones that stood out. And then I don't remember what year it was. T.O. doing the Sharpie. I think that was Seahawks 49ers. Again, I can't remember exactly what year. That was another one that stood out. Things like wide receivers, a lot of games that for some reason just remember for wide receivers.
Was it Joe Horn cell phone one a Monday Night game? I think it might have been, too.
That may have been. That's true. I didn't even think about that one. But, gosh, there's probably so many that we're not even thinking about if we go back. And that's we'll continue to look through these. But we want to also suggest any of our listeners that maybe have some of their favorites to send those in as well. And we'd love to talk about those to do that because there are so many. And as we said, I think it'll be fun to kind of look at some of these games. And I know the Chiefs-Rams game, one that everyone's excited about. And, again, you probably already watched it if you're listening to our podcast. There's so many games like that you can go back and watch and lots of these Monday night games. I mean, just think about how many Monday night games there are each season. And you can go back, and even if you just look at the scores, like you realize, oh, that was probably a good game. And there's so many of those out there like that. So, all right, Dylan, but that'll wrap it up for our Monday night themed episode here of the podcast. Just some random reminiscing on some of the best Monday night football games. And we'll have some more episodes like this as we continue to move through this very unique offseason in the NFL. But don't tell that to Roger Goodell because he may get on to you if you say anything about the NFL draft. Going on as planned, but we will have draft coverage. We'll start getting more into that now that we know that it is going to be going on its usual date. It will look a little bit different, but it will still be going on, and we've got coverage of that over Clutch Points there, Dylan.
Yeah, we'll start on the podcast doing some more previews of the draft itself and different team needs and all that, but we're already starting on the site on clutchpoints.com under the NFL section. Today especially started going through predicting in the first round a lot of these picks for different teams. I'm sure we'll dive more into all the needs that all these teams have, how they can address them, looking at some of the top prospects, probably at the top skill positions as well. So we'll get into that in the podcast, but again, on the site and on the app under the news and editorial section there in our app, you can read all about all the stuff we got on Clutch Points. We'll keep you covering, obviously, all the Cam Newton stuff when he finally – eventually signs Jameis as well. Free agency, still a few things left, but now it's starting to turn kind of that, like you said, that in-between period, but soon here it's going to be just everything draft central is going to be the focus probably for us, not just on the site, but also with the podcast.
Yep, lots of draft coverage to talk about, and as we know, it's not just about the lead-up to the draft, it's not just about the draft itself, it's not just about the after, weeks of the draft, trying to figure out fits and everything, but that is, you can talk about the draft for a couple months, really, when you think about it's sort of, thinking about the actual picks and how they're going to impact these teams and all that. So that's maybe when, you know, you really start to get a better idea of what teams are going to look like going into the next season. Then you can start, you know, forming those predictions and, you know, looking at how players are going to respond to having, you know, different players around them and how these teams are going to come together. So that's always fun with the draft. And like you said, we got a lot of great coverage on that over at Clutch Points. A lot more to come over there and on the podcast. So be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Thanks, as always, to the fine folks at Blue Wire and for our sponsor, Bet Online, for all that they do. And thanks, as always, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Past podcast.